Join us here at Last Adam Tabernacle as we bring Christ to the nations.
Praise the Lord. Clap for me properly. Praise the Lord. Mrs. Balo said you were called, so I can make you clap again. So, but yeah, I'm glad to be here. Our first-time visitor next to Mr. Kalibala, you're very welcome. And I would like to welcome back Mr. Balo. The wife said he escorted 5 ladies. I really hope you were in the company of another man. But if you were not, let us welcome you back, sir. You're very welcome. From Kampala to Hoima with 5 ladies, even I fear. But 6, yes. And yeah, it's amazing. Glory to God. Looking around, I don't know if there is any LAT, other man who can do that. But guys, learn, Andrew, 6. No. Dennis, 6. Also, you know. Okay. God is what? God is good. Amen. The Lord is good. Yes. I would like to appreciate the worship team for that wonderful, wonderful time in praise and worship. I have a promise from God that one day during worship, I will see, I'll have a vision. So every time, the worship team, I pray for you, me and Manzi, we are still at it praying for you, but somebody needs to see. Amen. Hallelujah. Yeah. Today, we are going to talk about something that was always there in the beginning, was never meant to be there, but along the way, things got corrupted. Oh, I'm seeing Manzi here. Okay, you didn't go down. Okay. Yes. As I was preparing, I felt I should talk about this. Not quite, it's not something that I just told God, I'm going to walk in obedience and share. Anyway, we're going to talk about temptation today. Temptation which leads us into sin, which causes us eventually to deny the faith, to go back and leave salvation. Yeah? And every time we are talking about sin, people don't talk about these things, especially in Pentecostal churches. And even I don't like to hear sermons about temptation from many Pentecostal churches. In a way, whether they water down temptation, or I don't know. Whether they water down sin, I don't know. But something doesn't quite, you know, do it for me. So I had to remember those days when I was first taught about sin, when I had first received salvation. And some of us actually, you remember a guy called the late Charles Stanley, LTV, 2 to 3, sometimes 4, 3 to 4, we would run. After church, you take off and run and you just listen to that guy. He simply explained what sin is. He didn't mince words. He just taught me as a young girl what sin is. And in preparation of this, I actually remembered him. Many times we are faced with temptation, and it doesn't matter how well put together we look. It doesn't matter your place in society, whether you are a pastor or you are, even as I stand here before you, some people are like, maybe Joanne doesn't sin. The times when I've talked to the children about temptation and sin down there, they are shocked that adults are actually tempted. That is how you guys wing it with them. That is how nicely you wing it. They're like, what? Even adults, they get tempted. Like, what could possibly be your temptation? Now those are the children asking what? Their pastor. That what could be my temptation? But you see, in the beginning, sin was never meant to be there. But it started by Adam and Eve disobeying God. How it started was Eve giving into the temptation. And because of that, We see through the generations in the Bible that actually, even when Jesus came, he was also what? He was also tempted. Now, many times when we are tempted to sin, we blame every other person but ourselves. Just like in the Garden of Eden. Why did you eat the fruit? This what? The woman who you gave me. The woman, why did you eat the fruit? Why did you disobey? This what? The serpent. And you know, the Bible says in Proverbs 19:3, the foolishness of a man twists his way, and his heart frets against God. It's interesting that sometimes when we get tempted, we are not able to blame someone around us. We blame who? God. Our hearts get angry with God. Why did you put me in this situation? We put it on God. And today I'm hoping that we are going to help each other because nobody is above temptation. Even Dr. Mujimba, hallelujah. Glory to God. Even Dr. who? Dr. Mujimba, he's also susceptible to temptation. Why? Because he is not Jesus. Okay? Even Jesus was tempted, but he didn't sin. So sometimes when we go through these things, we are quick to blaming other people. But I hope today we go back, and as I go through this, think about that one thing that has caused you to live in perpetual disobedience to God. And this time, I'm not going to ask anyone to raise hands. Glory to God. We are going to be very adult about this. No, but I'm not going to say who has been tempted by money. Put up here the things that I usually say. I just want you, as I'm going through this, just have your moment with God. There is a time I listened to a man of God who was saying that like a wonderful man of God. He said he went to a restaurant with a friend of his. And when he reached there, he took his seat, and then he saw a $100 bill on the floor. Okay, this man of God. Then the first thing he thought in his heart was to get it and what? And pocket it. Then, as he was still contemplating whether he should pick it, his friend also what? Saw the dollar bill, $100. His friend, without wasting much time, he picked it and called the waiter and said someone has lost their what? Their money. Now, this man of God went back and was very shocked at why he had that idea of pocketing it instead of doing what his friend had what? Had done. So he felt very discouraged. He said, but sincerely, I cannot be this what? This evil. Why was I wishing to get the command and I what? And I pocket it. Then again, I had another story of a lady. These guys, a couple, they had finished building their home. They had finished building their home. And now they were operating on a shoestring budget. Things were really tight. So as they are walking, they went out to buy a few groceries. And the lady was one who was in charge of the basket, hallelujah, the family basket. So she as they walk into the mall, she sees what? A very nice dress. When she sees a very nice dress across the shop, she goes and she buys the dress. Then she comes back and her husband asks her, but you know that we don't have money. Why have you bought that dress? Then she said that she had the devil whisper to her in her ear that dress would look nice on you. And so the guy was like, but you should have rebuked the devil and told him, get thee behind me, what? Satan. And she said, and I did. And when I said, get thee behind me, Satan, he went behind and he told me, you still look nice even from this what? Even from this angle, you would still look nice in that dress. So I just had to go and buy that dress, whether in front or behind. I had to go and buy the what? The dress. So she rebuked the devil. He moved from in front to behind, and she still did not make it through the temptation of buying the dress. But what is temptation really? Temptation to me, in very simple terms, because Manz is here, I hope he understands. Temptation is like that magnetic pull towards evil, towards wickedness. It is the thing that you feel to do. It's the thing that you feel towards evil, that pull that you feel towards evil. Now, in those days, why am I saying that? In those days, I would, some time back, I would be shocked at the thoughts sometimes I would entertain. Even I, like, you're really here, you're praying. you're there praying, then you get a very bad thought. Or a thought that even you're disappointed at yourself. You're like, but how? How am I even thinking these things? And I would feel so bad about it. But you see, one time I talked, because it was such a big deal to me, because then I would enter into a place of condemnation. Like, you thought this thought. How could you think this thing? How could you think such a thing about somebody, about, you know? And you know what? One time, I was like, I realized it was temptation. And at that point, I have not sinned. Why? Because if the Bible says that Jesus was tempted but was without sin, that means that that temptation is not the point of sin. Does anyone understand that? That if Jesus had, if you're thinking a negative thought is equal to sin, then that could sometimes mean that maybe Jesus, because he was also tempted, he also sinned. But the Bible is very clear. Jesus never, he was tempted, but he never sinned. That means that not every time you have a bad thought or not every time you face a temptation, you have actually sinned. That really helped to set me free. Because really what happens is we shall all be tempted. If, let me tell you, if you're trying to live a righteous life and you go through temptation, that means that today as we speak, just by the virtue of the fact that you were tempted, you sinned. But that is really not it. And I hope that today we shall, with the examples I'm going to give, we shall see what really temptation is and at what point does this now translate to sin, okay? But the fact that you're tempted does not mean that you have sinned. Many people in the Bible were tempted. Joseph was tempted. But the Bible said when he was tempted by Potiphar's wife, he didn't sin, but the temptation actually did what? It happened. Glory to God. And he didn't sin. So it is what you do when you are actually tempted. And consistently, if you do not fight off these temptations, if you don't fight off the temptations and you keep entertaining them, you end up in what? In sin. But for a bad thought to come, yes, you'll be, those thoughts will come. But they, like the Mzungu says, the bird does not have to. It can lay it can put a nest on your head, but it does not have to come and lay eggs there. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So have you had a bad thought about someone? Have you had a bad thought about your spouse, your children, your boss, your leader? Let me tell you, all those temptations are there, but it doesn't mean that you what? You sin. It is what actually you do after that. Just like the lady of the sari. She could have said, she could have still rebuked the devil from behind. I don't know why she stopped there, and she gave in. Now, this gentleman who wanted to pick the $100 bill, and he didn't do it, and he was at least contemplating, should I pick it, should I not pick it? I don't think he didn't sin, but he entertained the thought of actually taking the what? The money. So I don't know how he ended up with, I mean, what God told him about that, but he was just using it to say that sometimes he gets very disappointed at himself, yeah, at the things that he entertains. So anyway, 1 John 2, 15 to 16. It says, do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is of the world, that is the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. Really, temptation, we are always faced with temptations. But when we are faced with temptation, it all comes from our lust. The Bible says that when you're tempted, do not say that God has tempted you. It is out of your lust that you get the temptation. So you cannot say that God is the one who is tempting me. But God can test you, but not using temptation, because God does not need temptation to get to know what you feel about him, or to get to know how you're going to react in a particular situation. God cannot be tested with temptation. So we know that in the Garden of Eden, as I already said, Adam and Eve failed. They failed the temptation and they ended up sinning. Jesus, on the other hand, was also tempted in a similar way with all the three things that we have just seen there, which I'm going to break down, but he ended up triumphing over the temptation. So let us look at the lust of the flesh, which is really coming from here. All that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. So I want to let us know that all our temptations always come from these three things. The lust, first and foremost, but basically things to do with the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Adults, you don't want to hear this one. Oh, you guys are thinking so hard. Now imagine me who had to prepare this. So what does the lust of the flesh mean? First of all, flesh. Every time the Bible uses flesh, it's not anything negative. It's not always negative. Flesh could just be people, living things, you and I. Yeah. But also flesh means the earthly desires that we have. So it could also mean the positive thing about the flesh, like, you know, the water, we have fleshly desires. Not so, Teddy. You want water, food, comfort, which is a calm. Glory to God. Glory to God, Teddy. Yes, you want comfort, you want money, it's a fleshly desire, and it's okay for you to desire these things. But now where the fleshly desires become problematic is when now it goes to a place where it now starts to control you. Hallelujah. Your desire, this fleshly desire, starts to control you. Katinga womanya, anti-temptation is going to make its way. But others desiring a car, or water, or comfort is not actually bad. But when these desires rule over us and they cause us to violate God's laws, let me tell you, you're going to have problems. Something as small as, okay, not small, but something like gluttony. Something, you start out desiring food. I mean, I don't know if you've watched those programs on TV where there are these overly obese people in the US, yeah? 100 lb, 1,000 lb life. I don't know. Anyone watch those people on TV? When the ladies are morbidly obese, that now food, in a sense, realize that food is a god. Food has a handle on them. When they are depressed, they eat. When they are happy, they eat. When they are sick, they eat. Everything about them, it's because of this. And you know, the Bible tells us that gluttony is actually a sin. But Jesus Christ, when he was on earth, he had the desire for food. That is why even after the 40 days of fasting, Jesus was hungry. So the desires that his flesh needed, food. So these desires are not actually bad, but it is when they take over and they control you and they want you to become, you know, they make you violate God's law. 1 Corinthians 10:31 tells us, that therefore, whether you eat or drink, whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. But you see, when you're eating and you're drinking is no longer glorifying God, you cannot move. All you think, you know, all you're doing is to eat. And you cannot tomala ako service, those people who are morbidly obese. I don't think they can be there 40 minutes without food. As in, food has really taken a hold of them. And the Bible says that gluttony is actually a what? A sin. You know, gluttony is a sin, yet when you think about gluttony, you're like, there's not even a very serious sin. But it's actually to God. He doesn't want us to be, I don't know, what's the word? Gluttonous? I don't know. to have gluttony, yeah? So everything that we do, we have to do for the glory of God. 1 Corinthians 6, 9 to 10. It says, Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, idolaters, adulterers, nor homosexuals or sodomites, nor thieves, no covetous people, drunkards, rivalers, or extortioners will enter the kingdom of God. Can you imagine drunkards? For you to drink to the point that that drink starts to take control of you and it's all that you're thinking about, let me tell you, you will not enter the kingdom of God. But yet again, I'm bringing up all these things to show that temptations always start from something very small. It's a normal thing. It is... okay, yeah, I want to eat, but then you start to eat food, and then soon you use it to feed a certain desire or a certain need that you have that is beyond physical nourishment. Hallelujah. Cutting a gwemede, it's not about eating to be full or healthy. It's just, you know, you're just eating and eating and eating. So I'm just using that example to let us know that God doesn't like gluttony. Again, when it comes to the lust of the flesh, let us look at what happened in the Garden of Eden. For the first time that man fell, there was a lust of the flesh. Genesis 3:6. It says, and when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, glory to God, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree desirable to make one wise, she took its fruit and ate it. She also gave to her husband. She also gave to her husband with her, and he ate. First of all, do you really think, guys, that Eve was very hungry that day? She was not eating the fruit for hunger. She was eating the fruit because the Bible is very clear. It was a fleshly desire that she had, the desire for food, which shouldn't really be bad. But you see, this lust of the flesh made her violate God's command because God had told them, do not eat of this tree. He had given them. So I have a feeling that she was not she had even just finished eating her twigs, her lettuce, her apples, what? And then this thing comes. And she saw that it was good for food. So there is something that appealed to her. That lust of the flesh, which is, she said, the Bible says it was good for food. So she must have lusted over. She wasn't hungry. It was good for food. She had a fleshly desire to eat something. But then it made her end up violating the commandment of God. And then here in Matthew 4:3, when we go to Jesus, Matthew 4:3-4, again we see that Jesus was targeted. The devil targeted Jesus' physical need for food. I mean, after all this time, he was hungry. And so, I don't know if I gave it to you. And so he comes and he tells him, turn these rocks into what? Into bread. And he wanted him to violate the commandment. He wanted him to violate the natural order of God, that he knew that he was being tempted, okay? And so now he's telling him to do something for the sake of what? For the sake of food. You know, it's amazing what sometimes we underestimate the power of hunger. People can do anything for what? People can do anything for food. One time I watched this movie where there were two guys that they were moving through. You remember T-Bag 24, that series, eh? So these guys, two chaps, were moving through a desert. And they had walked for many days and they were very, very hungry. One guy was an American, the other one was what? A Mexican. So they are moving through this desert and they show these guys were really, really tired. So one of the guys was called T-Bag. So T-Bag, after so many days of no food, after so many days of no water, T-Bag told the guy, this Mexican, I feel like what? Mexican food. And the next scene in the movie, T-Bag was in the what? In the desert alone. He had eaten his Mexican friend. You underestimate what people can do for food. And that is with me when I hear people thanking God for food. I mean, it's a good thing. Glory to God. It's a powerful thing. Until you are without food, you do not know what you can do. When those days when I was in the bank, we used to have what they call town hall meetings. Mr. Balo, you remember. But one of the things that I remember ladies always talking about was the medeswaza. Yeah? Because on those days during town hall, they would serve us like, you know, sumptuous, a brunch, a very like nice food. But you would see people who have come in into the bank very dignified, eh? With those high heel state dresses, naye wali kumerengo muntu mukambwe, yeah? Ladies, men, like, you know, it was, you guys, we underestimate hunger, we underestimate that desire. But the things that you can do for food, until God takes it away, when you don't have it, many of the people that you see on the street, people end up sinning just to get something to what? To eat. These things seem to be interesting. Like, they seem to be small. But in our daily, you know that you can actually sin because now, I know some people, some couples who end up in trouble because they want to give their children a certain what? Then they start to steal money. They start so that their children, during the festive seasons, they are able to afford chicken, over, you know, pizzas and these things. Just food. There is another lady that I was listening to, and she was, no, actually it was a man, Babi Rukamu, yeah? And he made a statement that time I listened to this program towards Christmas, and this guy said that right now men in Kampala, they are busy stealing. Like if you ask, they are busy stealing because they want to get money for their families to be able to afford. It's no longer okay to afford the beans you are eating properly without any issues in January. Now there is the pressure that comes with meat here Christmas, chicken for what, pizza for what. You know you can really underestimate. And then you have your children who tell you, but every day we are eating beans. Let me tell you, all you need to do is to hear that for 1 month. Next time you'll be like, but how can I get money for what? For maybe chicken or meat, yeah? So you underestimate hunger. And that is why even the Bible tells us one of the ways to keep the flesh under control is actually fasting. This is how powerful Chinechintu. I'm just using the issue of food to show us how powerful the flesh, the lust of the flesh is, a bodily craving. Yeah? So you can do, that is why if you want to really, really, really smother sin in your life, the very first thing you can start with is actually fasting. You deny yourself that and then you put your body under control. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And you know what? The devil does not have to change his tactics because they are still working. It is the same in the Garden of Eden. It is the same today. Why should he change? By the look of things, he's being successful. So there is even no need to change the what? The script. So the lust of the flesh is a very serious thing. Then we go to the lust of the eyes. Yeah? The lust of the eyes, which we read about in 1 John Remember the three things we read about, 1 John 2:15 to 16. The lust of the eyes. This pertains to the sinful desire for the things that appeal to our eyes. Now, not things that you're going to put in your stomach, but things that symbols, like symbols of status, symbols, lifestyles, possessions. We read in Genesis 3:6 that Eve desired the fruit because it appealed to her eyes. It looked good. It appealed. The Bible says she saw it was good. She did what? She saw it was good. So it, for temptation to get to you, that they say that these, our eyes are the gateways into the spirit. You have to see. So someone will ask me, but now do the blind see? Yeah? Because sometimes they don't have the sight. But you see, Eve had to see it. It had to look appealing. And sometimes, Bambi, I feel sorry for men. Because we are in a generation where you guys, the man is being, they are sailing after you. They just want your eyes. Yeah? You know, I was in, one time I was working out there in the gym. Let me tell you, there is this gym that I was going to. Sam stopped going to the gym because he said, so he stopped going to that gym. Now for me, as a woman, actually, I would just, once in a while, I would see something that is crazy. I'm like, there was even a time I told someone that, today's like a meat market in here, yeah? Nga, abana, they are wearing, I'm like, you, what did you do when you woke up in the morning? Did you really dress up? Oh, avude muchitanda, what? Noja. But you see, for me, it was not appealing to my eyes in any way. But I totally understood when Sam said, no, for me, that gym, I have to protect my what? I have to protect the windows into my soul. So he chilled like what? The gym. I don't even see. I'm like, really? That lady was dressed badly. Boy, she was dressed badly. Then now in the gym, we have a session for stretching. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Where are you stretch? After you have done the exercises, ladies and gentlemen. At one point, I was like, nah, one of these days I'll stop working out. Because the stretches and the conversations around the stretches. But I realized that these conversations were always fueled by what? By men. Because people are dressed indecently. Now for me, it would take me hearing things like twice to know that, okay, this person is not dressed well. Because, I mean, that I would, you know. But when it comes to men, for them they have already seen. I don't know, is it because they say that men are visual? I don't understand. And then you see, as you're there trying, telling your child, preaching purity, you're passing by from here to home, from here, church. You guys have listened to this sermon. But as Andrew is driving home, oh my God, he needs to be in tongues because there are placards everywhere, there are mannequins. There is a time I even wanted, there is a particular shop there in Tinda or Muchikoe. You know mannequins. Who knows what a mannequin is? Dennis, do you know a mannequin? Because before they dress them, I'm like, hey. No, honestly, seriously, I'm like, really? Have you ever... I'm like, manange shop owners, yeah? Why? Why four of them there? Bazambaze. It's already bad that we're muzambaza muzituga, yeah? But you don't have to leave them there because you put them out to display something. It is 10 o'clock, yeah? I'm there driving my son. I have given him the long and the short of the story on purity. And guess what? He's seeing a mannequin. I feel so bad, yeah? Lust of the eyes. He's seeing what? By the time our children reach home, they are oversaturated. Don't get me started on lingerie shops. I don't even know how those ones should market their product, but it's really not a good thing, yeah? Men say amen. Yes, there are the bellows there. Yeah, really, yeah? This, Yeah? So, we are men are assailed by so many things. And sometimes I'm like, oh my God. Those 5 a.m. people who run, Van Nang, we understand that we are running, 5 a.m. running club, but dress up. Yeah? I mean, if you're here and you like to run or you like to do, just dress up. And I'm not saying that you should, but try as much as possible to be decent. Because, yes, I understand you're running a long distance. Know your body. Know what looks good in your body. Know what looks indecent in your body. Because also, us ladies, what looks indecent on me will not look indecent on another body type. So, anyway, so we are still talking about the lust of the eyes. And we have seen so far in Genesis 3:6 that when the woman saw that the fruit, that the tree was good for food and it was pleasant to the eyes, she actually took it and what? And ate it. But let us see how the same strategy of the devil is applied on Jesus. Matthew 4:8-10. It says, and the devil, and again, the devil took him up to an exceedingly high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory, and said to him, all these things I will give you if you fall down and worship me. Then Jesus said to him, away with you, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only you shall serve. But let us go back to 8, and you see the same strategy that he applied here. Again, the devil took him up on an exceedingly high mountain and showed him. The devil had to show Jesus okumukwata muchi mutano like this. Yet, do you think that Jesus didn't? No, because he was there before the foundations of the earth. And these things, the kingdoms were his. Okay? So now, but he had to take him and put him in a position of seeing. Seeing. He had to see. Okay? So same strategy in the Garden of Eden with Jesus, with us today. Okay? Katifa bakazi, there are things that we see that are also what? That also tempt us. All right? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I hear the amens are very few, but that's fine. Yeah? When we see these things, we end up coveting. That is the thing. Because sight, when we see things, you cannot covet something you haven't seen, you don't even know. For example, there is a time my son was asking me, Mommy, between a Concorde and what question do you ask me? A Concorde, very early in the morning. They are just up, going out of bed, getting, you know, some of us, when we wake up, you still want like 10 minutes to know if you're alive or dead because you're like, did I sleep? Did I sleep? Where am I? And you know, now I'm driving the children, so I'm very quiet because I think I'm thinking about my day. And Manzi asked me, Mommy, between a Concorde and what other plane? There is another plane, Airbus, yeah? What one would you like? Which one would you like? I said Concorde. It's 7:30 a.m. I even barely know some cars, how they feel to drive here on earth. He's asking me about an Airbus and a Concorde. What would I like? Now for me there, you'll not get me. I'll not covet it. I don't know it. I don't even know what it looks like. I don't know. But for him, he had seen and he's already entertaining thoughts of what? When I grow up, I'll get my own Concorde or I get my own Airbus or jet. But I don't know whatever he wanted. But you know, for you to covet, you cannot covet something you haven't seen. And the Bible tells us in Exodus 20:17, there is a clear commandment, thou shalt not covet. And coveting starts with what we see. You cannot covet something you have not even experienced. Even when someone comes and tells you, Lydia, do you know that a Concorde looks like this? You feel like this? It will not until I start to show her the pictures and they become appealing to her. Okay? So here it says, you shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, nor his male servant, nor his female servant, nor his ox, nor his donkey, or anything that is your neighbor's. This is where it's a clear command. So you see, when we give in to the lust of the flesh, when we give in to the lust of the eyes, we shall end up, if you consistently do that and you live in a perpetual state of looking at some things that, you know, you're not supposed to look at, you can actually end up coveting them. Amen? Glory to God. So while we are there thinking thou shalt not murder is serious, let me tell you, thou shalt not covet is also very serious. This commandment was not just, it wasn't by chance that it showed up in the Ten Commandments. Ever read the commandments and you feel like, I think this one here just made its way. It's not that serious. After I say, thou shalt not murder, you love the God, your God, other gods. Say, coveting? Coveting is not a serious thing, but let me tell you, it is serious. It is not in the Ten Commandments by chance. Hallelujah. I remember in those days when I was a young girl, remember that old lady who assured me over my Abu Palace? Eh? Let me tell you the story once again. I was one day, I used to wear really big things when I was young, and I was not indecent, but this lady was like a borderline muzukfu, an old lady in church. She would always get her mat and put, you see like where Rubani is seated then, like behind the projector there. And she would sit there and go, but what to serve? Yeah, sabida wo, wetumulabida wo na. Yeah, fena fena. She said she couldn't sit on the chairs because about her back, something had gone wrong. So she would come with a mat and put it there. And everyone who comes, that lady had info. Everyone who comes, she sees on a jessa was, you know, on a yambala bwati, on a yogera bwati, de 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 de. So one day, I had this very big suit. Like, you remember those things of kombine, yeah? We had a very, very big suit. She just did not like the suit. After church, I saw her doing like this. When she would do this, you just go there. So I went, I joined her there on the mat because I couldn't speak to hunger. She's seated down. So I joined her on the mat. She said, Bakuitani? Then I told her my name. I told her my name. Then she said, I looked at myself, I'm like, hey, hey. But from that day, she called them opale pale. Meanwhile, this thing was so huge. It was, and in those days, it was mwana akula, please. Eh? It wasn't, my mother wasn't taking any chances. So it was mwana akula, but she said, opale pale weyambaza, te twagala kudamu bulaba. So anyway, after that, I first put my kasuit aside. I would come in dresses, which, in my opinion, some were even maybe a little tighter. But anyway, I feared her. So one day she told me, in those days, she would always call us to talk to us. Then she would call me. And she told me, Muwala gwenja galo chimanye teri chibichi gumba. I'm like, wanangi, yeah? Meaning, there is no barren sin. Sin begets more what? More sin. So she was really trying, and this is why we, temptation, like it depends on how you handle the temptation. But temptation that leads you to sin will lead you to other things. Hallelujah. You will start out small, small, kidogo, kidogo. Then before you know it, you are somewhere else. If the devil would show you where you will end when he is tempting you, let me tell you, you wouldn't think about it. But he doesn't. He does not show you. He couldn't show Eve what this is going to cause, what her disobedience would cause. Otherwise, if she had seen, if she had understood, I don't know that she would have done what she did. Amen? So there is no sin that is barren. Nowadays, social media is oversaturated with things that cause us to covet. And for me, this here just makes me angry. It makes me angry. Someone is talking about something. Someone is doing a video about maybe a life. Maybe, and even as Christians, you're talking about, oh, you know, I went here and did what. But everything around the video. You see, like, and I think that's the other thing that would always make me angry in Zoe. That car part where where Elvis would enter Zoe. I'm like, we are worshiping. Everything about this scene is set for us to covet a certain thing, to covet the car, to covet the fame, to covet the popularity, to covet his shoe, his watch, his, like, everything around it. Yeah? And now there is something that even young people call eye candy. Eye candy. Eye candy. But candy is for the what? For the eyes. Say, are you just, see, this is what? It is just eye candy. Alan, have you heard of eye candy? Then you start scrolling. You scroll. The entire time, you're feeding your eyes with eye candy. So what is the difference between, Optical, now that is our days. Nobody is going to listen to optical nutrition, Pastor. Eh? Children don't understand that. Nowadays it is eye candy. So as you're feeding your eyes with those things, remember you're the same. You're like that fat woman who is eating bad things all the time. And before you know it, your eyesight will be at 1,000 LB evil. Because that is what you're putting in your head. So eye candy. And then our children need to be taught that not everything that glitters is gold. This is something that even we adults are continuously learning. Not everything that glitters is gold. It is as simple as that. Let me share something that I think we were discussing with Kwezi. Now, this was a serious thing. So I think the time at the period when the iPhone 17 came out, was it 17 or 16? One of the iPhones came out. And he was saying he wants to get the latest. I think it was 15. And he was saying he wants to get that latest one. But you know, when I went through the reviews, actually that phone wasn't as good as it was being marketed. But now he's seeing it, and it is being given to him in an appealing what? In an appealing, not him, but it's being put there on the market to appeal to a certain craving that people have. Like, it is not enough for you to have the 14, you have to get the 16. It is not enough to get the 16. You have to get the 17. It seems like right now, if you do not present something in an appealing manner, If you don't present it in an appealing manner, tell ya gula. Because that is the world that we live in. Let me give you another example. This one, I think the women will relate to it. There is a time I had a challenge with my skin. So I went on serious research on something, medicine that is going to actually help me. So I started to listen to a particular dermatologist. And this dermatologist told me that, Joanne, 90% of the investment in skincare products is invested in the packaging of the product. And then 10% actually goes to the actual product. But 90% of it is in the packaging. Then 10% goes in the actual, those things of, what are they called? Materials, ingredients. Yeah, but the way the thing is packaged, the way it is sold, I don't know, you've seen those, and they know how to get us women. They sell to you a product. First of all, it is rotating like this. Yeah? this reminds me of a shop I went to buy a bag from. You guys, I found the bag. The bag was rotating. You know, like, you know, and this is what marketing does. You don't have to come. Remove it. Even at the corner of your eye like this, as you're passing the shop, it's already giving you 360 like that. Because if you don't package things well in this generation, you won't sell. That was just a bug. So this person was telling me, because I was asking the doctor about that medicine, I'm like, this thing looks nice. Man, it was rotating, it was shining, it was what? I said, this thing must have the solution to healing me. And the guy told me, no, please. No. Genda ofune samona. I said, say what? Genda ofune. Who remembers samona? This guy tells me to go and get samona. Then there was another one called the thing where they put babies. Echogero. Those, man! First of all, the thing you touch it, it's like mud. Yeah? So you're like, is this thing going to work? Because me, I wanted the one that was rotating. But the guy told me, please, you go and get samona, get a chogero. Those two things, you'll be what? You'll be sorted. So what am I talking about? The last of the what? The last of the eyes. Don't underestimate it. Hebrews 13:5 tells us to be content with what we have. Let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have. For he himself said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Be content. I said coveting starts with the things that we see. This means you have to do everything to protect what gets in through your eyes. Okay? I remember that song, be careful little eyes what you see. Be careful little eyes what you see. Be careful little eyes what you see. Yeah, okay? Be careful what you see, where you see it from. Be careful, okay? Then lastly, the pride of life. This I got from only one scripture, yeah? The three things I've talked about. So the pride of life, this really means, to me, it means that anything that gives you an illusion of godlike qualities, where it could be in your achievements, in your possessions, then you start to feel like a tigwaliwo, you are indispensable. You are what? You are God. And let me tell you, there is a way in which material things or possessions, power and fame can make you start to feel that way. Okay? But the same thing, same strategy, like I said, in the Garden of Eden, same strategy on Jesus. It is what is happening to us today. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Okay? Genesis 3:6. I'm showing us how these three things appeared in one experience. It says that, so when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree desirable to make one wise, she took it and ate it. This tree, she desired wisdom to be, in fact, to be like who? Like God. Because the devil told her, you'll be wise, man, you'll be like God. You'll be like God. Okay? So, temptation sometimes comes to us in this form. The same way, by the way. If you can be there, and I think this is where, if people who have low self-esteem and they get money, you can still see that there is a problem with them. Because they start to feel a certain way. Yeah? They start to feel a certain way because of their achievements. They start to boast, yeah, in their achievements. And you see, you can be there saying, the sins are kwepanka. But you wait until you get to a certain level of achievement. All about one, or just talking to let me see, Anita Among, yeah, for example. Man, some people can change, yeah? Or just going, just reaching the airport. But when they get the car, man, you come back with an accent. Yeah? I'm just giving extreme examples because I don't want to say particular things here that I'm actually thinking. Okay? But because I need to keep preaching, all right? Otherwise, you say there was a personal attack. But you know, there until you test a certain level of prosperity, and people will tell you it takes a lot when these people have a certain level of achievement to stay rooted and grounded. Move on to, yeah. If you used to come for the prayer meetings, you stop because now you have other things. If you used to come to church with all your, what is it called? Okay, let me give an example of Elvis because most of us saw what happened. There is a time when that fellowship was still in Kamocha. There's a time Pastor told us a story of how Elvis used to drink what? I think it was one day they were coming from fellowship somewhere. They were in the park and they bought sachets of milk. Yeah, I remember that story. Sachets of milk. Oh, your Elvis, Gwemulaba. Yeah? Sachet, half liter. Yeah? No, it wasn't even, because even there was one that was small. The ones we used to get at campus, I think even must have been like that Kawan. But until you start to test a certain amount of money, yeah? Now this guy who used to walk like that, all of a sudden, man, the car has to come and almost park like there. Then he comes two, three steps. It was a whole long way like this so that we all see him. Otherwise, if the walkway was short, we would have missed something. So they had to make the carpet go like that. And then it takes him to the what? To where he's going to sit. Then now he is sitting on this huge chair with, manang, it was just too much. But you see, sometimes, and I keep saying that, nafe, the sheep, we can put our shepherds to what? Too much test for nothing. Bwaba gwe. You come here, Teddy, and we, whatever you like that. If we give you that kind of treatment for 6 months, you will be something else. Utaandikwa kuilanga oli wakabi. Wakabi, yeah? Otandika okuyiranga gwaina okuyimba gwe wekka. Webyo byebikwata yobyokka. But you know, when we go, because we all go through temptation, sometimes, for me, it has made me actually be less judgmental of people. Because I'm like, that person never started like that. And when maybe some people come to me and they tell me things, I don't go like, how could this? Because I also know I have my own what? My own struggles. But today is not about me. Glory to God. Everyone, because unless you're saying that the Bible is lying, we all face temptations. Unless you're saying that all of us, one of us, even if it's Pastor Moses, like I said, Doctor, they are not Jesus. Everyone has their own share because we live in a fallen what? In a fallen world. You wake up one day and sometimes it is all the three strategies in one or one or one B, yeah? Yes, sometimes, my friend. Mm-hmm. So, the pride of life. Let us see what happened for Jesus. Matthew 4:8-9. The devil tempted Jesus to prove that he was the Messiah, and he tempted him to display our feeling, to display power. Okay? So even you, at whatever point, and you see sometimes, for your temptation, it could be the way you treat somebody else who is lower than you, yeah? And you are tempted to treat them a certain way because, you know? So for Jesus, again, we see here, say, you know what? He showed him all these things, and again, the devil took him up on the next high mountain and showed him all the kings of the world and their glory, and he said to him, is it this one? All these things I'll give you if you fall down and worship me, yeah? So, again, we see that the devil has the strategy. I'm saying all this to say that the strategy will always be the same. The strategy will always be the same. Now, my fellow brethren, when someone comes to you and they tell you that they are struggling in a certain area, it is not a time for you to feel holier than thou. It is not a time for you to even entertain negative criticism. Sometimes we criticize so hard and so badly. Because even the Bible says, if you're without sin, Jesus told those guys, whoever is without sin, you first, when they brought that woman who was caught in adultery and the man was let to go scot-free, Say, okay, you be the first ones to stone her. Sometimes we don't even do that for our brothers and sisters. This is where we should always pray for each other. Glory to God. When someone tells you they are struggling, or if you notice that they are struggling, please, please, pray. Pray and also watch. The Bible says, watch that you also do not what? Don't fall. Glory to God. Hebrews 4:15 tells us that, for we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who has been tempted as we are, but yet was without sin. Hallelujah. Jesus was tempted in every way. Everywhere. It was only three of them that the Bible really focused on, because it's just basically, like I've said, the temptations are in those levels. But if the Bible says, you remember the scripture where the devil came to tempt him, actually after this one, it says, and the devil left him for a while. That just means that wasn't it. He said, I'll be right back. I shall be what? Right back. And I believe that those scripture only highlighted these three. Here we are helped in Hebrews to understand that there were actually many more times that he was tempted. So even you, sometimes you will be left for a while. Hallelujah. You will be left for what? For a while. But he will come back, because we live in this fallen world. And because the target is on you, Mulokole. Amen? So when you see someone falling from grace, when you see someone going back, don't frown on them quickly. Pray that the Lord helps you to actually sympathize with them. Because the Bible tells us here, if Jesus himself sympathizes with you, why shouldn't you sympathize with another person who is struggling with sin? Amen? Though, yeah, you can be tough and say, but also you. Don't just say, kusindikalo otamie. Me, anyway, for me, I'm here assailed by the devil every time tempting me, snatch a collar, then you go. No. We have to be tough, but also at the end of the day, we have to sympathize. Because remember, Jesus sympathizes with our weaknesses. Amen? Glory to God. So for as long as we are in this world, those are the three areas that we shall be tempted in. And children, Mkwanzi, Abby, Eden, Oria, Manzi, Grace, Joy, Christina, even adults are what? Even adults, Eddie, even adults are tempted. Yeah? Even adults are tempted. But what you do about that temptation is what will, if you continue doing it, you will eventually fall to sin. And you know, I read for you here, if you live in perpetual fulfillment of your desires, that is 1 Corinthians 6:9-10, where you don't have a place in heaven, this is where now it all gets. Do not be deceived, neither fornicators. That one who is fornicating, it all started out as a temptation. The person who is an idolater, an adulterer, a homosexual, sodomite, thieves, drunkard, all these things started out as what? As a temptation, which was entertained, and then eventually it will cause you to lose your salvation and miss entering the kingdom of God. But we have hope. Jesus overcame. Glory to God. And by the power of the Holy Spirit, we are also able to overcome temptation. And Jesus gave us the footprint of what to do to overcome that temptation. It is possible for you to win over whatever you're thinking about that is causing you to live in perpetual disobedience to God. It is possible for you to overcome it. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Like I told you, same story. In the Garden of Eden, throughout generations, Jesus Christ, Paul, Peter, now it is you and I. Put your name there. Now it is you and I. But those guys are in heaven. We can also make it. Glory to God. And we are going to make it. Hallelujah. We are going to make it. We shall be delivered. Hallelujah. God bless you.
Last Adam Tabernacle, Christ for the nations.